back. Matt Nick Sports Fix. ESPN Radio 1410 on the Sports Fix line with us. A couple weeks removed, Vince Mullins of FantasyCollegeBlitz.com and, of course, on Twitter, at Vince Mullins. Vince, 2 weeks into the books, pretty exciting times here in football in general, but collegiately speaking as well. I wanted to start off with a guy we talked about a bunch early last year, Denard Robinson, Michigan. It looked like Notre Dame had that game wrapped up, and then the fourth quarter rolls around, and Robinson put up like 800 yards in that fourth quarter. I mean, he was amazing.
Let me check the numbers. It was 700.
Oh, okay, my fault. My fault.
Now, you know, I was flashing around reading Sunday and Monday, I saw that headline. I wish I could quote the actual author, but it really sums up for me. Brady Hoke got the heck out of the way, let Denard be Denard, and they get the win.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, short of him running all over the place and leaving a rooster tail behind him, that's Denard Robinson's spirit. That's the way he plays football. It'll be really interesting to see how Michigan evolves throughout the rest of the season now that they've seen, now that Coach Hoke has seen under his watch, when he needed him to bail him out, he can do it.
Yeah, he was just tremendous. And that game wasn't very good. But the last quarter was certainly all entertainment for the football fan. Notre Dame, their offense, 2 weeks into this, they're struggling to get points on the board, which is a huge detriment in fantasy football. But
yeah,
they do look good. They just can't seem to punctuate everything. What's your take with the offense? Reese now, Floyd had a pretty good game. Overall, what do you think of the Irish offense?
Yeah, I would say what you said a little differently. I mean, they're getting yards, but they're not getting touchdowns. So they're not punctuating. You're right, and the defense has really been the problem. I think they can't seem to stop anyone. So that offense and that coaching staff knows how to produce.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the missing link in this equation is, because Brian Kelly has scored everywhere he's played. He's won national championships in lower divisions. He's won conference championships, but he just can't seem to get Notre Dame pointing in the right direction. And I have full faith that he will. He just hasn't done it yet. And they got to start punctuating. They got to start getting that killer instinct. Because, looking back at Michigan, they had him, what, was it 20? Let's just say 24-14 early in the fourth.
Mm-hmm.
And that the foot on the neck analogy came to mind, and that's what they should have done, but didn't. And they let him off the hook.
Yeah, they've 2 weeks in a row where they've put up a lot of numbers, have not gotten in the end zone, a lot of turnovers. What was it, 3 turnovers? Like within the 5-yard line against USF 2 weeks ago, and Reese with a couple bad decisions in that game at the Big House. Michigan gets the win. Let's look around college football at some of the big players from the weekend. I really want to get your take on this. Russell Wilson with Wisconsin, it's a player that was very up and down at NC State. Now with Wisconsin, all of a sudden, it's 2 games, inferior competition, UNLV, Oregon State, but my goodness, he looks good. He's not putting up crazy numbers, but man, for coming in like that, to put up numbers at all is awfully impressive, even against that lesser competition.
You know, I like to say early in the season, it's less about who you beat, but how you beat them, because everybody's scheduled softies. And right now, what I'm seeing on Russell Wilson is a guy who's probably about your number 20 fantasy player, fantasy quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
There's big names nationally ahead of him, like Marshall Lobelstahl of Washington State and Brett Smith of Wyoming. But and Chandler Harnish, who I told you was going to be better than Andrew Luck before the season started, is number one. But anyway, back to Russell Wilson. He doesn't have to carry the team anymore. He has some talent around him, like Mustafa Green, tied in George Bryan at North Carolina State. My goodness, he is just—he's smooth, and I'm not sure there's a better team in America than Wisconsin right now. Oklahoma, Alabama, Boise probably deserves to be rated higher, but I'm not sure that Wisconsin is they deserve to be in that conversation.
Yeah, it's scary to think that he could come in with minimal time and take over the way he has. And again, you said the offense built around that run game. He's not the main guy, but he's been impressive. We're speaking with Vince Mullins here, FantasyCollegeBlitz.com, Twitter at Vince Mullins. I wanted to talk a little Big East with you. They struggled over the weekend. Pittsburgh, Syracuse, and West Virginia all struggled against FCS quality opponents. But Ray Graham for the Panthers, a guy that we've talked about here in the preseason, 200 plus yards in week one, 120 plus yards in week two. Ray Graham's amongst the league leaders here in the Big East and across the nation in terms of the run game.
Yep, I will tell you this, with standard fantasy scoring, he's number one non-quarterback in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I would also, he's number two in yards from scrimmage for an individual player. He has been a real shining example. Aaron Pitt, while you know the results on the scoreboard aren't getting it done, Ray Graham looks tremendous. He looks like a type of star. That spread offense that Ty Graham likes to run usually focuses on running backs, and he is just a great fit. I would be shocked if this slowed down the rest of the year. He's looking like one of the best fantasy running backs in the nation.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been impressed. Again, it was just main for Pitt, but still, good numbers out of him in that new offense. You know, you mentioned he's number two from yards from scrimmage. I cheated a little bit here. I saw on your Twitter feed, FIU's wideout, Ty Hilton, in terms of skill position, I mean, my goodness, that guy's been crazy. And Florida International is actually a team with a lot of talent around the and both sides of the ball.
That's true. They are a team to look at coming out of the Sun Belt. Now, we know that Sun Belt teams aren't going to be in the BCS conversation even if you go 11-0. We know this. But still, Florida International showed on a national stage Thursday night why they're such a talented team. Mario Cristobal is the head coach, former University of Miami lineman. A lot of South Florida love there. But T.Y. Hilton, I mean, this is year three of him being an extremely productive fantasy wide receiver. We were out at a restaurant/bar for that game Thursday. Was it Friday night? It was Friday night.
Yep.
And before it was going on, the people around us said, watch out for number four and FIU. He's like, who are you? And then 2 60-yard touchdowns, he's returning kicks, and the guy's just shaking his head. He is that type of player that there's a great matchup. They're hosting UCF this weekend. Those are two very good non-AQ teams playing against one another. To me, that's one of the best matchups of the weekend, even with Oklahoma and Florida State. I know FIU-UCF will be on my DVR.
Yeah, I actually totally agree with you. And again, that's not going to be on everyone's radar. It's on people in this area, I think, will have it maybe on their radar because Central Florida has been linked to the Big East. But
yes.
Big East fans will now remember FIU and certainly Hilton after that game on Friday. Just and everyone, I think people saw it coming. If you read the tea leaves, I think Louisville even saw maybe that one was coming. But nonetheless, that one, you know, it works out that way for FIU, and it sets up a good battle in the Sunshine State this weekend. What other players had good week in terms of week two that caught your attention that maybe didn't catch everyone else's?
Well, that's a great way to phrase it, because there's some names I wasn't even familiar with, but all of a sudden they're top 10 in the country with fantasy points. Eugene Cooper, a wide receiver at Bowling Green. He's got 10 catches, 244 yards, 6 touchdowns in 2 games. Bowling Green is their head coach, used to be the Missouri offensive coordinator. Kamar Jordan was a great wide receiver last year, but Cooper's the guy who's running with the ball like crazy. So he's a name you might want to pay attention to. Paul Richardson at Colorado had another big game, another receiver there. It certainly helps to have an overtime game against California, but he went 11 for 284 and 2 touchdowns last week after getting 2 touchdowns in the second half against Hawaii the week before. Those are two teams that really kind of stand out to me. We already covered T.Y. Hilton, who's probably not as appreciated on the national stage. And as far as running backs, I got to say there haven't been a lot of names that have kind of come out of nowhere for me except for the kid at Buffalo right there, probably near you, Brandon Oliver. Yeah, he's right up there with over 110 yards each week and multiple touchdowns. So those are the names coming out of nowhere. If they're not on your fantasy team and they're still free agents, don't even think twice about it. Just go get them.
Absolutely. Let's going back to SU a little bit here. They're at USC this coming weekend, which could be could be really bad. Chandler Jones is not going to be playing for the SU defense. SU offense looks anemic outside of Ryan Nassib and a couple of the wideouts. But and not to mention, I'm pretty sure this is correct. A Big East team has not won at USC since 1957. So it could be an issue here for SU and the weekend. Tell me a little bit though about USC. Matt Barkley, we all know about. But what about Woods at wideout and some of the other players on that team that have caught the attention so far through the first 2 weeks?
Yeah, they're exceptionally talented. The cupboard was really full for Lane Kiffin when he moved in here. Barkley, Elite 11 quarterback, MVP of the Under Armour All-Star Game as a high school senior. They're just loaded. Robert Woods, I mean, if you look at the recruiting rankings, and there's top 10 guys at every skill position and most of the big ones. So, but even with all that, Lane Kiffin still doesn't seem to be getting these players to play at their full potential. A guy like Van Pugh is going to cause them some problems. You know, one of the quarterbacks at USC is about 5'8". And the other one's only about 6'1". Van Pugh's a big fella. Now, granted, they're used to seeing big receivers coming at him in practice, but That doesn't mean that I don't think Nassib and Chu should be able to really, really, you know, do some damage. I'm not. That stat you gave me about Big East hasn't beaten a USC there in 60 years, that doesn't surprise me. But that doesn't mean I'm discounting Syracuse on this big road trip.
USC struggled with Minnesota. They struggled with Utah. Last year they struggled with non-conference teams like Virginia. So SU may have a chance. Well, Nassib's playing very well, by the way. I mean, that might be a guy targeting waiver wire, not this week, but down the line there are some very favorable matchups, especially at the Dome for Nassib.
I had him at preseason as one of my kind of deep value quarterbacks, definitely with the matchups. So USC would not be one of them. But hosting Toledo, Rutgers, and then traveling to Tulane back-to-back is a great way to end September and go to October right into the bye week. Those are some spots where I think he could, you know, put up more 300-yard games like he did against the Rhode Island Red.
Yep. That game was pathetic outside of Nassib. Everything else about that for SC was disgusting. But, hey, a win is a win is a win. Vince Mullins here, FantasyCollegeBlitz.com. Is that FIU-UCF game, is that kind of the one that's going to be your big-time game for the weekend in terms of the fantasy value?
You know, maybe not so much the fantasy because UCF spreads the ball around so much, even though they got one of the most exciting players, you know, at quarterback there, Jeff Godfrey. But it certainly should be a lot of fun both ways. Fantasy-wise, there's some matchups like Boise State-Toledo Friday night. Toledo will probably get overmatched more so than they did against Ohio State. But still, there's a lot of phenomenal skill talent on both sides of the ball there. As far as elsewhere on the fantasy side, just kind of going down the list, you know, Tennessee looks really good. I'm a little worried as a Gator fan with Tennessee visiting. Their passing game looks unstoppable. I think Tyler Gray has 9 straight games with multiple touchdown passes.
Hmm.
That's going to be something to really keep an eye on. Just trying to find another good fantasy matchup for you. If you're really looking for points, usually I sort by the over-under, so those are not yet. But Oklahoma State, Tulsa, that's the big one, really.
Yep.
Just think about all the talent on both sides of the ball. Tulsa likes to throw it around a bit, but not getting off the line too well here early in the season, but let's give them a little bit of a break. That's definitely Oklahoma week one. But that Oklahoma State game at Tulsa, that should be a lot of points, and that's a late start on Saturday if you're looking for something to do and nothing's going on outside the house.
Oh, very good. Well, Vince, thanks for joining us here. We look forward to catching up again next week.
The week after that, I guess that's it.
Yes. Yep. That'll be all.
All right. Well, it's been a fun ride, and I'm looking forward to the next couple of weeks, and we'll catch up a little more.
Yeah, absolutely. It's Vince Mullins, everyone, FantasyCollegeBlitz.com.